when I finally accepted that my mother would no longer be in her physical body, I was able to wrap my arms around what my new next would look like in life. Sad as it was going to be, it was a necessary step in order to get unstuck.
How can a person suffering tremendous loss get unstuck in grief? Have you ever felt as though you're wearing cement boots of grief? How can we move forward in our grief? Welcome to Bereaved But Still Me. Our purpose is to empower members of our community. I am Michael Lieben and the father of three children, Idan, Sapir, and Liel. Liel, my youngest daughter, was born with a heart defect, and later she developed autism and epilepsy. Losing her at 15 is what has brought me here to be the host of this program. Here with us today is our guest, Antoinette Alexander. Antoinette Tony Alexander is an author, inspirational speaker, and has served in several leadership roles. Her books include topics on grief and relationships. Tony is no stranger to grief. She has lost both of her parents and a spouse. The death of her mother hit her particularly hard and inspired her book, Mom's Dying, Encouragement for the Journey and Embracing Life Changes, Praising Through Pain, where she interviewed other people who had experienced losses to assist them with loss through suicide, illness, and other life-altering events. She is here today to give us guidance on how to navigate the difficult experiences of getting unstuck in grief and how to help us move forward in our grief. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today on Bereaved But Still Me.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you today.
Tell us something about your mom.
My mom was a beautiful woman. She was definitely a loving person. She had four children. She was a military wife, and she was just a beautiful person. She was a hard worker. She had a lot of family intuition, and she was full of wisdom.
It seems to me like your mother felt it was her duty to help her family deal with her demise. As the youngest in your family, can you tell me about the biggest lessons you learned while watching your mother's health decline? And just how old were you then?
I was
Oh, sure.
46 years old when mom passed. Mom was first diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia in February of 2003. This reality changed my view on life and relationships and how fragile both really are. You know, cancer is a hard term to accept for our family, but it became part of our new normal. Mom wouldn't need treatments until June of 2007, and pretty much the first round of chemotherapy went well. Well, as can be expected, and the disease remained relatively dormant until about July of 2010. The second series of chemotherapy took a toll on mom. She was a little older then, and her body wasn't as strong, and mom's health continued to decline. About February 2011, mom's health had taken a turn for the worse. And I remember 2011, that March. It was a week before mom died. I said, "Mom, are you afraid?" And she said, "No, I'm not. And I don't want you to be afraid either." And this was really my gripping that pretty soon mom would not be with us physically.
Was that the first time that you actually hit the reality of it?
It was, Michael. You know, I was in denial pretty much up until that time. Even though I saw her health declining, I pretty much was feeling she might just kind of stay in the declining piece of the journey, but not necessarily expecting the end of the journey.
I would suspect that's pretty common for most people who are witnessing the end of their mothers, don't you think?
I pretty much think so. It's not something we really want to grasp, as you know, they've been with us all of our life. They have given us life. And now to imagine going on without them, my reality of not wanting, not knowing how I was going to live after my mom died was a pretty scary thought. It was a pretty scary thought.
What does it mean to be stuck in grief?
Sometimes we don't want to move forward. We kind of hold on like it's a badge of honor to remain in one space, thinking maybe if we move on, we are leaving them behind. And that was an unhealthy place to be. I didn't want those cement boots to dry and keep me from moving forward to carry on her memory, her legacy, and to keep enjoying life and to find new ways to enjoy celebrating different events, even with mom not being here.
I think it might be fairly easy to get stuck in our grief, especially when we suffer so many losses as you have. You've suffered the loss of both of your parents now and a spouse. How do we get unstuck in our grief and move forward if that happens?
One thing, Michael, that I try to do is pretty much within 3 points. I try to accept, I try to acknowledge, and then I try to take positive action. The accepting part is difficult. It took me some time through my grieving journey as the anticipatory grief, expecting mom death to come. And then to accept it, it was a difficult point in life. But once I accepted it, I was able to acknowledge my feelings. I was sad, I was confused, I was hurt. I was relieved pretty much that I did what I was supposed to do and I didn't harm mom. Sometimes if you don't have that medical background, you're not for certain if you're doing the right things. But my siblings and I had different agencies walk along with us to make certain that we were doing the best that we could and giving mom end of life care when that became necessary. So acknowledging, whether it was right or wrong, it's our emotions, it's how we feel. And then to take positive action. And that to me kept me moving in a good direction. It got me unstuck. I was able to look back and realize, wow, you did come through this. You came through this a better person, a stronger person. I came through it differently. I don't think we can expect to go through a life-altering event and be the same person we were when we started off. And to me, I wanted to be a better person. And I also wanted to document this journey to assist others who have experienced loss in life so they wouldn't remain stuck.
I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because one of the themes of this program is bereaved but still me, which is to say that I'm essentially the same person I was before, but I have made changes. I have learned to adapt. I have learned to find a way to move forward. And I think that's where we're getting at, where we're not exactly the same, but we
Right.
haven't really changed all that much. Now, when you talk about accepting, is that what puts you in a position where you can accepted a reality that you didn't want, but now that gives you the freedom to go ahead and do what needs to be done if it's
Yes.
taking care of somebody or taking care of even of a funeral.
It really puts you in the mindset of this is happening and take the steps necessary to do what you need to do. So that was the key for me. When I finally accepted that my mother would no longer be in her physical body, I was able to wrap my arms around what my new next would look like in life. As it was going to be, it was a necessary step in order to get unstuck.
How do you counsel somebody who doesn't want to leave that space, that their comfort zone says, I'm not taking a step toward acknowledging anything, almost as if I'm hurting that person by doing so? How do you help that person?
Michael, being very sensitive that we all grieve differently and bringing into the fact that whosoever loved one has left would not want you to be in a state of just not moving forward in life, trying to bring the reality of what the relationship meant to them and how they would want us to grow and move forward in the loss, imagining if they were still here, what would they tell you to do? Would they tell you not to go on with your life? Or would they tell you to just remain stuck where you are? And a lot of times they'll say, you're right, my mom, my dad, or my sibling, will want me to keep moving to do something differently and not just be sad all the time. And we will have our moments, and they know that they will be crying. And it's part of the journey to hold on to the grief as we move along with that grief, because we're not leaving them behind. We are carrying them with us and just letting them to see, just take small steps. I remember sharing with one of my girlfriends who had lost her husband unexpectedly. Go out to the mailbox, write a thank you note to somebody, and go to the mailbox. Just get out of the house, take a small step. And later on, we laughed about that because she really did not want to leave the house. And the mailbox was like her little safe space. I say, go write me a note, drop it in the mail. And each day we would walk her through just going to the mailbox because she had become immobilized in her grief. And I felt that if she could just get outside the house and really see she could do it, then the next step would be go to the grocery store. So we kind of mapped it out into small steps. And, we laugh about that now because it seems so minuscule. But back then, we both knew that it was major for her to do that. So you kind of walk beside people where they are and just give them small little acceptance of doing something differently to physically get them unstuck and try to emotionally get them unstuck also.
You are listening to Bereaved But Still Me. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our program, please send an email to Michael Lieben at michael@bereavedbutstillme.com. That's michael@bereavedbutstillme.com. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
Tony, tell us more about yourself. Are you a counselor or a psychologist? How is it that you've come to help the bereaved community so well?
Michael, I am not a counselor nor am I a psychologist. I have been a leader in corporate America for about 30 years now. I became aware of the bereavement community through my local church, and I was part of the bereavement ministry, and we had different types of training that would help us support other people going through grief. But I really became more passionate and, I guess, knowledgeable after I had lost my mother. And I became more aware of what the grieving process really is. And I wanted to do it in a healthy manner. So then I wanted to just help other people be able to walk through their grief or grow through their grief.
Many people don't know what to say or how to help someone who's grieving or dealing with anticipatory grief, and they really want to. And often they'll come out and say something that's just out of nowhere. What have you learned through that experience? How can we talk about what to say or maybe what not to say?
That you can walk along with them, what not to say, that you know how they feel, because each person feels differently as they go through their grieving process. Each of my siblings and I, we all lost our mom, but we all grieved differently. Our experiences were not the same. Our relationships were unique with my mother. So I try to just encourage people, know how you feel. Sometimes don't say anything, just give a person a hug. I can relate to the experience. I know what it's like. I've been in a similar situation, but I don't tell people I know how they feel. I know what it's like to lose a mother. I know what it's like to lose a spouse. I know what it's like to lose a sibling, but I don't know what they are feeling. So I think just knowing sometimes that people care enough without trying to analyze or resolve any of the issues, or even with anticipatory grief, saying, are you ready for this to happen? We're never ready. I've experienced the death
That's
of a
true.
parent with anticipatory grief, and my father died unexpectedly. People say, which is harder? They both are hard. You just have to go through your hard. I don't compare grief. They're all different. The loss of my father was different than the loss of my mother was different. And the loss of my husband was different than the loss of my brother. They were all hard.
I think that one of the problems there is that people really are hardwired to be nice and they want to say something. It's an issue that we've faced many times on this program. It's an issue that all of us who have ever been in a state of grief have experienced. I've heard some horrific things that I don't want to repeat here, all in the name of trying to be nice or sympathetic. And I think I'll take the advice of earlier guests. The best thing that I can think of to say is either tell me about your loved one or I really hate that this happened to you. It's a way of trying to put the conversation on the grieving person. The idea is let them guide the conversation so that you don't say something that might unintentionally be hurtful.
Yes. Yes, I would agree.
You spoke a little bit earlier about acceptance and how that helps you move through your grief and how now you're thankful for the time and the journey. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, once I accepted my emotions and my feelings, and that, mom was eventually going to die, it gave me the energy to start documenting with my first book, Mom's Dying Encouragement for the Journey, just how I was feeling, how to do things in a more healthy manner. One of the chapters I called Treading Through Tears, and I realized I would be crying, but I wanted to remain physically active. So I started on the treadmill, and I just cried on the treadmill about 20 minutes a day. And it was keeping me active physically. I was able to sleep better at night. And I share with people that sometimes if you do some physical activities during the day, your mind might just kind of drift off to sleep at night, and it won't always keep spinning around through, the different emotions you might have. So that was one thing that I tried to do right for me, was very therapeutic, exercising to do healthy. I wanted to find healthy ways to grow through my grief, and it worked for me. And I try to use that pattern. It worked for me during my mother's death. It worked for me when my husband died. And it also worked for me when my brother died. So that little pattern that I created for myself of acceptance, it got me out of denial that I can't believe this is happening, to now this is really happening. What do you choose to do about it in a positive manner?
I think it's really healthy. I want to ask you, though, one of the things I noticed about myself, that it took me about a year before I could say my father died. I said he passed. I said he left us. He wasn't with us anymore. I couldn't get past the word died. Would you say that I was, in some sense, stuck there for a while?
Michael, I would say yes. And I too was stuck there. Our phrase was transition. We could not say died. Mom transitioned. Mom transitioned. So when I put the book Mom's Dying with the question mark as the title, I needed to say dying. I needed to
Right.
acknowledge that. But I would say it took at least 6 to 8 months for me to finally verbalize that mom had died and not transitioned. And it didn't mean anything differently as far as her physical being here, but for me, it was an emotional attachment to the word dying or death or die that I didn't want to have.
If you've enjoyed listening to this program, please visit our website, heartsunitetheglobe.org, and make a contribution. This program is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to educate, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at congenitalheartdefects.com. For information about CHD, hospitals that treat CHD survivors, summer camps for CHD families, and much, much more. Tony, your book about your mom is not your only book. Could you please tell us more about what you've written and how we can find your books?
Yes, my books are available on Amazon.com under Antoinette M. Baker and also under Antoinette M. Alexander. My first book, Mom's Dying, Encouragement for the Journey, is my journey through and growing through the grief of my mother's illness and her eventual death. My second book is Embracing Life Changes, Praising Through Pain. It discusses going through my father's death, but I also interviewed other people who had lost children, adult children through suicide, other people who had lost children through illnesses, and just getting their perspective on what it's like to keep going and to offer praise, even though your life is changing. I've written a book entitled It's a Process, and that deals with physical changes and working through hospital stays. And I also interviewed a couple of my friends, as well as my first husband, as far as their journey in with cancer. And a few books under Alexander, I am remarried, and my first book as an Alexander is Deuces, Marriage Twice is Nice. And for me, that was part of my healing journey and about relationships to keep on going. I needed to do something differently for myself. I had written my books under Baker, but it was kind of like, now I'm an Alexander. I needed to make a mark as an Alexander. And it was part of a grieving process to let Baker go and to pick Alexander in my book. And I didn't think it would be, but I watched how I grew through that grief also, just writing the next series of books.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you, is if now writing as Alexander, if that wasn't the same process of accepting and moving forward.
It was. And Michael, I have a book called Moving Forward, Learning to Love Yourself. That was my last book as a Baker, and it was intentional. And then I said, I need to do a first book as an Alexander. So that was a growth process for me. And quite a few tears were shed during that transitional phase, but
I would imagine.
I needed to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that the books themselves are the process. A lot of people write books as a release mechanism or as a relief mechanism, and that's fine. And I'm very much in favor of that. But the name's changed, and that itself is part of the process. I love that, because if the readers catch on, they're walking with you and they're walking alongside of you as your name changes, as the books grow. And I just think that's really right. That's just great.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
It's a bonus, really, because I don't think it was intended. It was intended, but I don't think it was planned at the beginning. And I think it worked out so obviously that way. And it's just so wonderful. It really is. Now, you've been a facilitator and a speaker. So what is the message that you want to share with the world? And you can take your time here and tell us what you want to say.
Michael, I like to help people grow through their grief. We are going to go through things in life, but I want to help them grow, to get unstuck, to remove those cement boots of grief, and to learn how to thrive again. It's very easy to remain in one place and not grow. I talk to a lot of people for simple things in life, just say weight loss. They say, well, losing weight is hard. And I say, being overweight is also hard. Choose your heart. And that's kind of with grief. You have to choose your heart. It's going to be hard to take that next step, but it's also some negative impacts and effects if you don't move forward.
Right. Are people afraid that if they move forward, they're somehow leaving behind or walking away from memory?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Sometimes it's like maybe a badge of honor that, you know, we're holding on to the grief in the very solemn moments, all the crying, all the not wanting to really socialize or do things any differently, or not moving furniture in the house. Everything remains the same, kind of like building monuments of grief. I don't view that for me as being healthy. For my season in life, I wanted to move some things emotionally, to move some things physically. For me, selling my home was important to me, because as my husband was preparing to transition from this life, he said, I want you to be in something smaller, you know, something that you can handle. Get a condo. You don't need to do yard work. You don't like yard work anyway. So I was continuing to transition into not just holding that house that we had together, but to move and make myself move ahead. It was very difficult, but I also prepared myself for if I dated again. For me, I knew I did not want to date another man in that same house. So I was projecting the future, what it might look like, that is this where you want to live? Is this not where you want to live? So mentally and physically, I was doing some moving and growing.
It's beautiful. It really is. And I have nothing to add. It's just beautiful. Your mother was a huge part of your life for a very, very long time. And I'm sure you really miss her. What do you celebrate about your mother now?
Well, I celebrate her wisdom. I celebrate her practicality. I celebrate how I see what I've learned from her growing in me that I never thought would be. You know, as a child, you don't think that you're going to become like your mom. And then I look back and I said, wow, some things you're saying sounds like what your mom would say.
Oh,
Just
I have
remember
definitely become my mother as I've gotten older. There's no question about it.
it's joyous to think about that. At first it was hard, you know, thinking about mom. But as I reread my own books, I'm thinking, wow, I see how much I've grown over the 12 years that my mom transitioned. My mom died on St. Patrick's Day, 2011. So each St. Patrick's Day brings about some sadness, some tears, but also I realize I'm not like I was on that St. Patrick's Day in 2011. So, you know, I can think about mom and smile a lot more now. And it's just a good feeling to have had her in my life and to just know that I'm the woman I am today because of what she has instilled in me to become.
Here comes a point when you think about them and you smile, and that's where you want to go. That's where, if you're looking to head yourself in a direction, tell the good stories. Tell the stories that make you smile, so that whenever you think of them, you'll also smile. Yes, you'll be upset. Yes, it will still hurt from time to time, but you have the option to smile. That's important.
Yes.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us on Bereaved But Still Me.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
And that concludes this episode of Bereaved But Still Me. I want to thank Antoinette Alexander for sharing her experience and her wisdom with us. Please join us at the beginning of the month for a brand new podcast. I'll talk with you soon, but until then, please remember, moving forward is not moving away.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you have felt supported in your grief journey. Bereaved But Still Me is a monthly podcast, and a new episode is released on the first Thursday of each month. You can hear our podcast anywhere you normally listen to podcasts at any time. Join us again next month for a brand new episode of Bereaved But Still Me.